Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
It's a little gray out, but I'm still feeling okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tis the time of year.
Well, it is. Yes. And until it snows, we're going to feel like that darkness thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like once it snows, it brightens up.
Absolutely.
Feels pretty good.
Yes. But, and it cleans everything up.
Yeah.
Yes.
But right now it's just wet
and everything
mucky.
Sparkles.
Yeah, it gets sparkly.
So today we've picked kind of a sparkly topic.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's it's just that time of year. Like, I don't know about you, but this time of year makes me want to eat more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
we're getting ready for winter.
Yeah. Yes. Just put on a few pounds so that we can hibernate. Mm-hmm. Now, if only I could actually hibernate, that would be the bomb.
Wow. That's right.
Go to sleep for 3 weeks or so. I could use that.
It'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Just snuggle up.
Mm-hmm. 3 whole weeks, huh?
Well, that's what I figure I'd need, just to be able to recover and to be able to eat in advance so that you could survive 3 weeks without eating. That'd be so fun.
Wow. I couldn't do it.
Well, maybe evolutionarily we'll just get there someday. Canadians.
We're picking lighter topics because we just feel the need to kind of lighten things up a bit.
Yeah, well, last night we both attended a meeting about the UN's Sustainable Development Goals. Mm-hmm. And so going away from that, I'm thinking, wow, the art of like what we're talking about today seems a bit light.
It's very sobering.
Comparison.
Yes,
but,
so today's a bit light. But light is good. You need to be light sometimes.
Yeah.
And sparkly.
Yes. Thank so today we're talking about the art of the cookie.
Cookies!
Yay, cookies!
Yay!
Because so nothing important.
Makes things better than
Sustainable Development Goals and cookies.
And cookies.
I even actually brought some cookies.
They're like little, oh, look at them. I'm happy already. Oh, and they are sparkly.
And they do have sparkles.
Yay!
So these are created by my house baker at the gallery who happens to also be my mother. And she takes it upon herself to produce a work of art every single coffee break.
Every cookie is
with
a work of
the cookies.
Art. Yes.
And so together they create installations, right? Like she'll do a selection of cookies, and sometimes the individual cookies are the work of art.
Yes, because the cookies at the gallery, the coffee break at the gallery is a tradition.
Yeah.
And part of that tradition is coffee, but also the most important part is the cookie.
Yes.
So we do have, you have a house baker. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, actually. She took this on back in 2009 when, when our gaming funds were frozen.
Yes.
And all the arts groups were cut off in the province. It was quite a disaster anyway. So we had to cut a lot of expenses. And so she said, well, I understand you have to stop buying cookies, but maybe I could make your cookies.
Yeah.
And it just, oh my goodness. It's
so much better than
It's so
them.
Much better. So, yeah, some of them are works of art, like the Peak Year Show. She did little salmon with little red and green icing.
Mm-hmm.
And like Kathy Stubington's show, The Art of Community Engagement, she did a puppet theater. So there was the theater plus the marionette cookies with liquor strings and then all the little audience cookies. Did you see that one?
I think I did,
Oh, man, that was crazy. So everybody was so delighted. No, and, of course, it's hard for people to start eating because they just want to look at this beautiful installation. Mm-hmm. And Cardiff Miller, she did the little train with the cookies going off to the next destination because the experiment was going off to.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's, and then of course the mac and cheese cookies.
I love the mac and cheese cookies.
That was
and
for
I
the student.
I can't remember what she did at the bicycle.
The bicycle show? Oh my gosh, she must have done like wheels, bicycle wheels.
Yeah, with bicycle wheels.
Or, yeah.
Anyway, every time. It's always a delight. Yeah. And they're delicious. They don't just look good. They taste good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we have a thing about the art of cookies at the gallery. We think that they should all be works of art.
Mm-hmm.
And
we take cookies for granted, It's a relatively new thing.
Well, yeah. I suppose in the last 500 years.
Still.
Yeah.
Like the ability to cook.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
We haven't always had that.
No.
Not individually anyway,
or
like not in everyone's home.
Certainly not in your own. Not everybody has an easy bake oven, what I'm saying? So to have something cooked for you was one thing. And then to have something cooked for you that had both sugar and spice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that stuff comes from long, long, far, far away.
Yeah. Well, that's, it's a big adventure.
Yeah, that's what I love about food.
Globalization.
It's really history you can eat.
Oh, that's a lovely thought.
Isn't it?
Yeah. There. Yeah. Show done. Mic drop.
And it also, there's so many, there's a reason it makes us happy, I think.
Why? Why do you think it makes us happy?
Well, no one
happy?
Ever is miserable when there's cookies involved.
Did you ever hear of that thing where whoever takes the last cookie on the plate is the old maid?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, like, I never do that.
I don't care.
If there's a cookie left, I'm taking it.
Well, it's just, yeah, cookies are an icebreaker.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't know, you show up to any event and somebody brings cookies. It's like, oh, yay, cookies.
Yes.
Meetings can be better because of cookies. Yes. I don't know. It's
Who doesn't love Cookie Monster?
Know. Exactly. Yeah. Even though he doesn't ever eat them, they just kind of...
Yeah. It's funny. You know, if you ask Siri what 0 divided by 0...
What?
She talks about Cookie Monster.
I didn't know that. What did she say?
Well, I'd have to check it, but it's something along the lines of pretend you had 0 friends and you were dividing by 0 cookies. You wouldn't really have anything, would you? And Cookie Monster would be very sad.
Who makes this stuff
up? I don't know, but it's pretty funny. And yeah, popular culture. I mean, the Keebler, like there's commercial Toll House cookies, the Keebler elves. I mean, the cookie has found its way into our little consumer hearts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there is there's a proper definition for what makes a cookie. And just like the sandwiches that we talked about last time, some things qualify as cookies, some things don't.
Some things don't.
Now, the definition of a cookie is a small sweet cake, round and crisp. Mm-hmm. And by default, it has to be baked, right?
Cooked.
Yes.
Cookie.
Cook.
I normally just figured that out like the last couple of days. Cookie.
Yeah.
So you know bake fans?
Those aren't cookies.
No.
Because they're not baked.
So this is a warning, Nanaimo Bar.
Yeah.
Your days are numbered.
You're like, okay, we just got a new national bird. We should get a new national cookie.
I think so.
Because Nanaimo bars are not a cookie.
They're bars and they're not cooked.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got to go on a crusade about this.
Yes.
Getting a national cookie.
And in French, it's biscuit, and cuit means to cook.
Yeah.
So biscuit also implies cooking.
Exactly.
Which is what they call cookies
in England.
In England. But I think of it as a biscuit. As a non-sweet cookie.
Yeah.
For some reason. I don't know.
I know. Me too. Like the little floofy bread things.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's us North Americans taking things and, twisting it up. But
making it a croissant-wich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like in France, you would never stick a bunch of sandwich fillings in a croissant. Mm. Like that would be an abomination.
Yes, it is.
So
it is an abomination.
Yeah.
Or but a cronut. Yeah.
So what the heck? Why are we doing this fusion thing? Anyway, the point is...
Yeah, no, I'm all about I'm kind of a cookie...
purist?
Well, I hate that word, but I'm all about the classic.
Not Puritan.
Minimalized classic cookie. Because they all have such interesting histories, you know?
Yeah. And we'll get into that because there's lots.
And we talk about the traditions.
Yes,
in the
but
next 15
before
minutes.
We get all to... tradition, it's important to know that like in the creative part of cookie baking is that you have to understand the science of the cookie.
Because it is chemistry.
It is.
Yes.
And if you understand the science, you can make cookies out of anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a person who has to follow a recipe, which is fine, not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if you are, then you look at a list of ingredients and you say, oh, I don't have that or that. So there I'm done. I can't make cookies. But if you understand the science, you can make it happen. Mm-hmm. Because basically,
you need
a carbohydrate, you need a
protein,
and a fat. That's it.
So sugar and spice is nice, but you could technically make an oat cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can make your own flour. If you don't have flour, you can just take quick oats and grind them up in a little spice wizard.
Oh, man, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first cookies are probably super boring.
Yeah.
They were really just sustenance and...
Well, there wouldn't have been a lot of sugar around then, right?
No.
Like, or is the sweetener
is... Middle Ages, no.
Not much sugar in the Middle Ages.
But they were practical because they were portable.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's hard to carry around a roasted pig and all of... in a big, you know, cauldron of stew. Like, you can't just say, hey,
throw
why
it on your
take
back
this
your,
to go?
Yeah.
But
put it on
for
my
some
horse.
Reason, the cookie, they could flatten it out and...
Yep, wrap it in a little cloth.
And just take it.
Yeah, and if it breaks, it's like, whatever, I'll just keep eating it.
Maybe it was the original takeout.
Maybe.
Right? To feed the troops during the Crusades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, we'll get into that with the tradition, but the Crusades is a turning point for what the cookie had in terms of content in the rest of Europe, right?
Yes.
Like once the spices enter the picture. Yeah, so, then it got, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Okay.
But yeah. So there are rules.
Going into the science
here's
here.
There's some quick tips here.
So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. So flour, mm-hmm. if you don't have enough flour, then you're going to get like runny and greasy cookies. You mm-hmm. just have to make sure that your balance of flour. Your dough should actually be kind of fluffy and slightly sticky, but not too sticky. Mm-hmm. So you'll get used to that with time goes on. If you have too much flour, you know, you get crumbly, dry cookies. Mm-hmm. Baking soda, of course, that's the thing, or baking powder that helps there to be some rise.
Some poof, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of poof. No, none of that. Flat, lumpy cookies.
Yeah. Or if your baking soda is too old.
Yes, that's right.
Because it doesn't, the sell by, like the expiry date is actually a real thing.
It's true. It stops working properly, yes. Right? Like after your container's been opened for a while mm-hmm. too, like you won't get as much flour.
Yeah, I find that with yeast too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And salt is important because it basically enhances all of the other flavors and kind of helps cut.
I know.
So that pinch of salt is critical. Mm-hmm. You don't like, but if you oversalt, it's salty. Mm-hmm. So be careful there. Butter, it's an emulsifier. It makes the cookies tender. It also helps you get that crispy around the edge kind of feel. Mm-hmm. So, but if you add too much.
Flat. They're like pancakes.
Yeah. They're so super flat and mm-hmm. greasy. But if you get too little, they're crumbly and they're tough. Sugar is a sweetener, of course. Too much, it's just all sugar. But the purpose of the sugar is to make them a golden brown because mm-hmm. that's sugar will kind of melt, right?
Yeah, anything, molasses, honey, anything kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you use too much sugar, it also makes your cookies brittle mm-hmm. because they do that thing where they crystallize and then they break. Mm-hmm. Right? So kind of imagine like those.
So it's like big, toffee now.
Kind of, yeah.
But I mean, I can't imagine a bad cookie.
I've had bad cookies.
Really?
Yes. I've made bad cookies because I'm a creative cook, right? Like I cannot follow a recipe.
Yeah, but if you're going to mess anything up in life, let it be a cookie.
Well, yeah. I mean, my family always says, well, they taste good. They just, you know, maybe they fall apart in your hand or whatever. Like, because I just try stuff. Right?
I know.
Like, that's my thing.
I'm not much of a baker because it's very precise and I'd like to wing it. But every now and then. I get a good batch.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah. I love living for the risk of getting the good batch.
Yeah.
So eggs are the binding ingredient. Mm-hmm. Your perfect amount of eggs make that moist, chewy center thing go on, right? If you add too many eggs, though, that's you make a gummy mm-hmm. kind of batter, and
it
ends
like
up
a quiche cookie.
Yeah, yeah, and then it ends up being more like a cake, mm-hmm. right? It gives you that cakey thing,
right.
Like a spongy mm-hmm. sort of feel. I don't like that, mm-hmm. so that's a problem with me because I feel like. Oh, my batter's too dry and crumbly. I need to add an egg. No, yes. Don't do that. If you need to do that, add vegetable oil instead.
Mm-hmm. And then the basic difference between a cookie and a cake is water versus oil.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Because in a cake, you want the
volume.
Yeah.
And that's water.
Yeah.
Whereas in a cake is like a really, or a cookie is like a really practical cake.
Yeah.
You can carry it around. You can,
right? Right. And then, the contents of your cookie, like the stuff that you put in it, coconut, chocolate chips, cranberries, whatever you decide, that has to be balanced properly too. Mm-hmm. Nuts, you should toast and chop up mm-hmm. because when you have large nuts in there, it can make your cookies crumbly. Mm-hmm. Raisins should be soaked first because raisins will soak up moisture. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
they will
that.
Soak up the moisture in the cookie mm-hmm. in order to plant themselves back up, making your cookie dry.
Moisture robbing raisins. That's why you should never put raisins in things.
Probably.
See?
Raisins are a kind of a, it's like, raisins.
Yeah.
Because especially when they look like chocolate chips, mm-hmm. you get really unhappily surprised.
And you know, it's funny how we rebrand everything. Suddenly a granola bar is good for you. Newsflash, a granola bar is a cookie in disguise.
Yeah. And it's got way more sugar in it
way
because it's
more.
Got goo to hold it together. Okay. That was our fast and furious science lesson for today. Today on Artscape, we're talking about the art of the cookie.
Yes. And this part, this 15 minutes, we'll focus on the various traditions. Ooh, look at this one.
Oh, so I'm actually just
in my hand.
Passing a cookie to Louise so that we can eat a cookie at the same time.
What kind of cookie is this?
Well, I think it's just a sugar cookie. Like my mom makes a very, I mean, it's a straightforward kind of shortbread mm-hmm. sugar cookie mm-hmm. blend thing. And it's probably her thing, right? Like she's just decided this is
her thing. And it's got like a little sparkles on it and pink icing.
Thank a little you. Bit of a glaze and a little bit of sparkle.
Can you hear me smelling? It smells so good.
It does smell really good. Oh my God. Well, that's the other thing too. Have you ever walked into somebody's house who's baking cookies?
Yes.
It's like, okay, I'm staying.
Yeah. If you want to sell your house, just keep cookies. my parents, seriously, when they were selling their house, my mom would keep. Okay, sorry. Don't be upset. Pre-made cookie dough, mm-hmm. which is an abomination, but she would keep it in the freezer, and every time someone would come for a showing, she'd throw some in the oven.
Well, sorry, I'm eating this cookie. So
it makes sense, though, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it's okay. That's a marketing tool, yeah. So you don't have to.
I hadn't thought of that for a long time, but yeah, go mom. That was a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, because cookies sell.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why kids do bake sales.
I'm anti cookies sell. Pre-made dough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is like.
There was a time when I would have done that because I thought it was convenient, but.
Convenience is your frenemy.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Never again.
You taught me that.
I'm a reformed.
The reformed convenience.
Yes.
Girl. Okay. Let's get to traditions. So.
Yes. So many traditions.
Now this is a bit 100 monkey syndrome thing happening in Europe right around the time of the Crusades.
Yes.
Cookies were kind of developed. With spices and flavors, all in the 1500s.
What is the 100 monkey syndrome?
Oh, that's where something becomes created or invented in one area, and for some strange reason, even though there's no training or like communication with other parts of the world, that same knowledge or invention pops up in other parts of the world.
Yeah, write that down. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Then the reason it's called 100 monkey syndrome is because the same thing has been noticed in monkey populations in different parts of the world, that once a certain group has created, you know, a tool to get, you know, whatever, termites out of their hill, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, that same skill is developed. Like,
so we're all kind of evolving at a similar rate.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so, I'm glad we evolved to make cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
So then you post-Crusades.
Yeah. Post-Crusades.
Yeah. Okay. Because what happened is all those people came back with spices from the Middle East. So that was the beginning of gingerbread because they brought ginger. Mm-hmm. And that was exciting. So how gingerbread kind of started, it's actually was bread. Like it was breadcrumbs mixed with honey and all of the spices.
And sometimes those traditions, like the croissant, le croissant is actually a celebration of the end of some crusade or some war.
Oh, really?
Where the bakers were tasked with coming up with a celebratory food item, right?
Yeah.
And you see that in, like, it's the crescent.
Yeah.
And so there's stories like that all over. For all we know, the gingerbread cookie was made to celebrate the end of the Crusades.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, it was also, I mean, a portable situation too, right?
Right.
But it was also a religious thing.
And like, in those days, there weren't that many ways to recognize. I mean, they weren't having fireworks and parties and concerts.
Yeah.
And, right?
Yeah. Food is the way.
It's food.
Yeah. And the bakers were big time, like they were the professionals of the community, right?
And by order of
the king. Not everybody was even allowed to make, like people weren't even allowed to make gingerbread at first. Mm-hmm. It was only people who were kind of authorized by the church, right? Because it became this religious thing.
Yeah, just so, like you needed a seal to be a carpenter or or you needed that to be a baker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so how it was done though is like honey and the spices were boiled, the breadcrumbs were added, and then it was mixed and pressed into a carved board, a cookie board, and those had the religious designs in it. And then they were sliced up and then, you know, and fed to people. And so that was the beginning of gingerbread. But of course, then it evolved and more modern ingredients were used and people were allowed to make it in their own homes. But for quite a long time, they weren't.
That
was a protected.
Well, because it was sort of a sacred message. You can eat like a host when you go to church and you take communion.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sort of transformed into like animals and people shapes because of that original purpose too, the religious sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why you get little gingerbread, like, you know,
little gingerbread
things, like cutouts of things, the cutout cookie, basically.
Yeah.
And then gingerbread houses were evolved out of that. And that started in Germany in the 1800s after the Grimm's fairy tale, Hansel and Gretel, came out. There was such a, you know, it was such a smash.
It was the Harry Potter of its time.
It was that the German bakers tried to recreate the Hansel and, or the witch's house. And so they used gingerbread because that was traditionally the thing that was done in slabs. Mm-hmm. And so they could build with it. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Gingerbread.
And if you just want to entertain yourself for half an hour, check out gingerbread house competitions worldwide.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Like they are so amazing. Yeah. And there's even, I found one that somebody built a house-sized gingerbread house.
A house-sized gingerbread house?
Like an actual house.
Wow.
In a big gallery somewhere.
It's amazing.
But whole villages will get together and make gingerbread house villages so that their entire village has a village inside their village. And it's all gingerbread.
Whoa.
I mean, it's pretty serious stuff in Europe. Wouldn't that be great tourism? I'd like to go on a gingerbread house tour.
Yes. It's amazing what you can do. Because it does have that you couldn't do that. Well, I guess you could do that with a cake, but you couldn't do it with.
Can you hear me chewing my cookie on that?
I can't.
I hope not. Kind of embarrassing.
And so, but every culture has a cookie, right?
Yep.
Whether it's a sugar cookie or those beautiful sort of poured Florentine cookies. Mm-hmm. In Italy.
Guess what a cookie is called in Italy?
Biscotti.
Yes.
I know.
That's all it is,
means
biscotti.
Cook.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it's all over the world. Small baked cakes.
Yeah, it's a double baked. Biscottis are double baked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Extra awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can make a pretty good biscotti. You make a really good biscotti.
Yeah, and my mom makes a great biscotti.
I would imagine.
She stole my recipe.
Oh.
And then what's worse is that she makes it better than I do. I don't like that at all.
She makes it better.
She does. So anyway, yeah, the Italians really kind of have the corner on cookies because they, not just biscotti and the millions of different varieties of biscotti.
Is it because they just eat lots of dessert?
But they have beautiful, you know, works of art cookies that are known all over the world.
Yeah, some of our cookies are pretty horrendous.
What do you mean?
Well,
horrendous?
I mean, some. I think
how can a cookie be horrendous?
And there are artisanal cookies like the gingerbread or the sugar cookie or the, you know, things that are beautifully crafted and cut and thoughtful. And then there's like lumps of dough, right?
Yes. Or like dad's cookies, right? Like in a package. Like when you think about it,
yeah.
What have we done to the cookie?
I know.
Anyway, yes. So in Italy, it's a big deal.
It's an art form.
And they're not very sweet.
Yeah, whereas the French, it's more about bread. I think in Italy, it's not. I mean, they have good bread, but they're more known for their artisanal cookie.
Yeah. Did you know that aniseed cookies, which I actually, that's a big thing in my family.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Italian cookie.
Like a licorice thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't know. Why is that?
I don't know. Probably post-Crusades. That's one of the spices they adopted and started to use. So, yeah. I know. And then in Germany, Lebkuchen is their cookie, but the ginger cookie is a big thing.
Gosh.
Have you ever tried Pfefferdus?
No.
Well, it's like a cookie that's kind of like chocolate, but also has pepper in it.
Mm.
Like a super soft ground white pepper, which makes it a little bit zippy.
Mm-hmm.
I used to make Pfeffernuss, but I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what would we do here. We don't really have. I think we have maple.
Yeah,
like the true Canadian cookie.
I mean, maybe we should think about the wheat, like the contents of it being all Canadian made.
Yeah.
So
butter.
What kind of wheat
that.
Do we? Yeah, we got butter.
Yeah.
What kind of wheat do we grow that we do really well here that the world loves? I don't know what it is. Hard spring red? I don't know.
I don't know.
Whatever it is. So that, the good dairy butter that we can make here.
We got eggs.
We got some kind of sugar beets that we can use for sugar. I don't know.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there must be a way that
would
we can
combine.
Would
they have to be like blueberry, cranberry, maple?
Yeah.
Something.
Well, even just maple. Why can't there just be like a maple cookie that's
classic,
simple. You
and
know.
They're in the shape of a maple leaf, and they've got stuffing in the middle.
I know,
awesome.
But that's... I know my nana used to buy those.
I love those.
But maybe there's something that's not a process like that with the stuffing that we
Ooh, let's try and recreate that. I'm going to do that. That's going to be my weekend project.
Okay.
I'm going to bake you a maple cookie.
Okay.
And I'm not going to use any sugar.
Just maple syrup?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that's challenging because that's something I've been trying to do for years is eliminate sugar from my cookies. It's really hard. Honey doesn't work. Agave, not so much. I've done some maple syrup, mixture of maple syrup and just regular sugar, trying to cut it down. But there's something about the crystallized sugar that make it hold together.
Mm.
So it's okay. Challenging.
Challenged.
Yes.
Maybe we'll be starting new traditions because, you know, this website I follow called Food 52 says that the Nanaimo bar is a traditional Canadian cookie.
Yeah, and I'm officially against that.
Wrong.
My philosophical stance is
not a cookie.
Yeah, it's just simply not a cookie.
A bar.
And I don't like them either.
Not cooked.
So there's a problem there.
Because there's coconut in it, which is too bitty. It's too many ingredients. I mean, there's amazing cookies all around
the world. In Japan,
they have the matcha.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how lovely that would be?
And it's probably very straightforward, right? It's probably the beauty in it lies in its simplicity.
Yes.
So but that's what we need for Canada.
So elegant.
A straightforward, simple cookie that's all about Canada.
Ooh, we could put pumpkin.
No, let's just stick with the maple. It's the maple cookie challenge. Okay. We have to have a campaign to change Canada's national cookie. You're going to make it.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh yeah. That would be so ironic. I can't even. Yeah. I'm getting better, but I'm not known for my baking. Let's just say.
Really?
Yeah.
I know somebody who's known for her baking.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get her on it.
Bring it on. Come on. That would be such a, maybe she could introduce it at the first Canada 150 show next year.
Yes. What a good idea.
Okay, cool. Let's do it.
I wonder if she's listening.
That would be her Canada. Are you, if you're listening, we have an idea for you.
Surprise. Your artistic freedom has just been removed.
Yes.
But yes. Right. But we do think that's an important national event and an important national purpose. Mm-hmm. Think of what you can do for your country, not what your country can do for you.
What cookie you can make for your country, not what cookie your country can make for you. That's right.
Brilliant.
So we talked a little bit around the world, you know, Florentines, matcha cookies, gingerbread, biscotti. What about the pinwheel? Didn't you say you had something to say about the pinwheel? That's sort of...
Well, there's a fig pinwheel in Italy. Like, that's a big thing. A fig is a big thing in Italy to use for cookies. So, but the fig pinwheel, where it's like the fig, you know, in between stuff, like a date.
Oh, square. Like a filling.
Yeah.
I see.
And then they make a pinwheel. And then, you know, how you do that with the dough and you roll it up and then you slice it and then it becomes this.
And part of it is geographic location, right? Because Italy and Spain are there. They're halfway between the East and the West.
Yeah. And they're regional. Yeah. Like everybody gets their regional food, right? And they learn, you know, they learn how to make whatever, like, you know, all the pasta in little, every little section of Italy has its own pasta.
Exactly.
Every little section has its own cookie. And it's the thing that you grow up knowing how to do.
Yes.
So it's an important, you know, kind of rooting tradition. Yeah.
Like in the Nordic countries, they use rye. Rye wheat.
Oh,
right.
And see, they have nice little, why.
Which is pretty solid stuff, right? So they can do like beautiful cutouts.
Yes.
Because it is an art form. Every cookie is a piece of art.
Yes. I'll start talking because Louise is eating a cookie.
I took a really big bite.
You're listening to Artscape today. We're talking about the art of the cookie, which is really important because as we head into the winter season with holidays and all the, you know, sugar and fat eating events going on, we have to have a quality cookie.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's better than someone giving you cookies for Christmas? I can't think.
I know.
So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, a cookie has become like anything. We tend to take something and just put it on, you know, the highway to trendy.
Yeah. Well, especially lately, food is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Like it's not enough to have a cup of coffee. You have to have.
Yeah, you have to have a latte, half calf, to have, double something, extra foam, cinnamon sparkles.
Yeah, we turn it up to 11, I guess, is what I would say. But with
Spinal Tap with reference.
Totally. Well, you can't get through a day without a Spinal Tap. I can't, anyway. So there are interesting trends happening in cookies. Mm-hmm. A, because they're no longer practical food that will feed the troops.
Yeah, we don't have to pack it on horseback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
now, long distances.
Now they've become, it's become an art form. Mm-hmm. They're like giftware almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. And actually people are using them as like the gifts, like at weddings, you can get wedding cookies, like these highly specific decorated wedding cookies that you either have as your, in your, you know, offerings or give as your gift as to your, each guest.
Mm-hmm. Your bonbonnière, which used to be. Bonbonnière is candy, so candy is being replaced by
by cake.
Cookie.
Cookies. And it used to be like, you know, fruitcake. What the heck?
Ugh.
I know, right? I remember that. That was gross.
Ew. Yeah, that's a bye-bye. That's a, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a fun, sorry, I just took another bite. This is a fun thing to Google. Google like wedding cookies.
Wedding cookies.
Birthday cookies, yeah. You know, stuff like that. And see then, what people are doing.
An entire neighborhood's doing cookie exchanges, right? Mm,
yes.
Which is makes so much, I mean, that's to me, that's like a big thumbs up to the cooperative movement. Like, how about you make 4-6 dozen of whatever your best cookie is, mm-hmm. and I'll make 6 dozen of mine. And mm-hmm. so, because it's a production.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody trades and then everybody gets a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It makes me, you know, makes my heart sing when I think about cookie exchanges. I have a friend on the coast and their entire neighborhood does it. And they've been doing it for years.
Wow. Well, it's kind of interesting. I participated in one of those for a few times many, many years ago. But I also found that it meant I had a lot of cookies to eat in my household. And so, you know, as we've reduced the sugar that we consume,
I see.
We're just not doing that as much.
Yes.
And still. Also, I think, you know, my mother tends to take care of that job for pretty much all of us.
I know.
So, yeah.
Well, in your case, you have an expert on the premises, so mm-hmm. it's all good. I do not have an expert on the premises. Mm. I'm just saying, I might like a nice shortbread, but I don't think I can make one.
Shortbread. So that's one thing mm-hmm. in our family. We seem to be able to do the shortbread, probably from my Nana. Mm-hmm. Like, she was the shortbread queen.
Your British heritage or your Scottish.
Yeah,
Scottish,
yeah that's British. Right. Her Scotch shortbread mm-hmm. was everything. Like, it was so delicious. Yeah, we all just strive to make it like Nana's Scotch mm-hmm. shortbread, right? And every time that we do one and it turns out almost as good as Nana's, mm-hmm. that's a success. Mm-hmm. It's good enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then this idea of, I think we're going to see... I won't say it's the resurgence of the cookie so much as the it's the coming out party of the cookie, because we've done muffins and then we've done cupcakes.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cupcakes had a big kaboom mm-hmm. and you could go to a cupcake store, and there's mm-hmm. still cupcake stores in big cities.
Yeah. So I predict the next thing will be a signature cookie.
Yeah.
And the cookies will be astounding.
Yes.
And at first, and then they'll get franchised, and then it'll get all watered down, and then we'll be talking about the waffle. You know, like, everything is cyclical.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun to run this bandwagon, like, to jump on right now and get excited by some of the new things that you can learn mm-hmm. and new things to try. Like, maybe if you always make a chocolate chip cookie, you can try a cranberry toasted hazelnut cookie.
That's right.
Like, what the heck? Just give it a shot.
Yeah, and maybe if you've always wanted to... You know, in the cookie as a canvas, my goodness, the work that can be done, right?
The cookie as a canvas. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a great exhibition to have.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, think about, so it brings all, it's baking, it's design, it's it's colors, it's icing, you have to plan, like there's some incredible work craftsmanship that goes mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. the perfect cookie.
Well, and now there's a lot of products being developed out there that can help you paint on cookies.
Yeah.
And you can just buy, I mean, it's available almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. You got all the colored sugars mm-hmm. and these big grains, little grains, fine dustings. Mm-hmm. People are doing stencil work mm-hmm. and stuff. And then you can get just paintbrushes, super fine paintbrushes. And then there's basically like they're icing paints. Right?
Yes.
So you put a glaze on your cookie and then you just start painting.
Yeah, I mean, it's art.
It can be a little Van Gogh right there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking, what should I do for the Christmas gifts? Maybe that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Like little stained glass cookies.
Little stained glass cookies.
Lovely. Yeah. And I mean...
And we don't need more stuff. We need more cookies.
Well, that's the thing, right?
And I get the sugar piece too, but it's Christmas. I want cookies.
Yeah. And we do kind of have to recognize that, like, the stuff incident is an important thing to mm-hmm. to say that, mm-hmm. you know, with too much stuff on our shelves, giving consumable gifts is much preferable.
Yes. Yeah.
And it does come from the heart because mm-hmm. you did have to create it. And
it's my favorite. One of my favorite Christmas things is my mother-in-law always makes special cookies. Mm-hmm. And then she brings over the tin. Like, where's the tin? Is the tin here?
Yeah.
There's the tin.
I remember when I lived far away from my mom, I would wait to get the tin in the mail.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the wax paper holding it all together.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. This was pretty significant
stuff. The wax paper.
Yeah. And I mean, once upon a time, there used to be like...
As I say, art, you can chip and eat.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the best. Yeah. 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 And there used to be whole collections. People used to have collections of cookie tins.
Cookie tins. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you do. That's what got exchanged mm-hmm. everywhere, right? Here's mm-hmm. Here's your cookies and their mm-hmm. tin. And I don't know. It just was a thing. I don't know. So do people even use cookie tins anymore?
Cupcake, you've been warned.
You've been warned?
The cupcake.
Oh, the cupcake has been warned. Yeah. Move over.
Yes. And the Nanaimo bar, you're done.
Yeah. I think this effort is serious. I think mm-hmm. we better take this to a level that, you know, maybe community radio isn't big enough for
maybe
us.
Maybe 11. Should we turn it up to 11?
Well, I'm just like thinking how serious this is. You know, this was probably the same kind of effort that got put into our national bird.
Yes.
Right? Like think about all of the elements of the bird. Because mm-hmm. there's people that talked about the loon and the osprey and all the, but they talked all about the traits of the gray jay.
Yes.
That made it Canadian, mm-hmm. like a real Canadian bird. Mm-hmm. So now that's what we have to think about. We have to really be thoughtful about this.
Maybe we
can't
should
just pick
it.
One.
Yeah, maybe it's not up to us, you know, the... Turn on your ovens. The challenge is on. Let us know what you think.
Maybe we should be the judges.
Oh.
You submit your cookies to
CKVS,
care of Louise Wallace right, and Tracy Kutcher.
Right.
And give us a call when they're ready.
It's a tough job, but I think I'm up for the challenge.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so too. Okay, so speaking of trends, not so recently, but during the Depression, that's when the trend of leaving cookies out for Santa started. And it was a way of parents were encouraged to teach their children compassion and generosity.
That's not nice.
Yeah, because of course it was a time when everything was rationed and it was really difficult to imagine being generous with your neighbors, but this was a way to do that.
Wonderful.
Put some effort in. You only had to leave a few.
Just a few.
Just enough for Santa to have a little nibble and maybe a carrot for the reindeer and all that, right? So that's fairly recent mm-hmm. in terms of trends, but that's another great reason to make cookies at Christmas.
And now it's like Santa needs a gingerbread latte.
What? That was a good idea. I should have implemented that rule. Darn. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
I know, again, we take traditions and we amp them up to the point of ridiculous. One of my favorite things about cookies is the fortune cookie.
Yeah.
I love the interactive. And they're not even from China.
They weren't invented in China. In fact, it's hilarious. If you go to China and then at the end of your meal, you say, "Where's my fortune cookie?" Mm-hmm. They look at you like you're from space.
Exactly.
Because they were invented in
San Francisco.
Yeah.
I don't know what the tradition is, but I just love fortune cookies. Sometimes I just buy them like that just for fun.
Do you eat them?
Yeah, I'll eat them.
Okay.
A lot of fortune cookies are made in Vancouver.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah. Sometimes I just feel like...
it's a crunch.
That's not even a food. I don't know.
You don't think it's a food?
I'm not sure. Like, I just kind of wonder sometimes.
I'm happy to eat them.
Okay.
Yes.
And I also... Okay, I'm having my little fortune cookie rant.
I don't think that
the little things that are inside them now are fortunes anymore. Like, some of them are so...
Like, be good with your money?
Yeah. Oh. Like, that's not a fortune.
Be nice
that's
to advice. Your friends. I know, I always get the wise. Be careful with your budget. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A fortune
you can actually custom order fortune cookies for yourself and put your own message.
Yeah, well, speaking of trends, right? Like, it's all about...
So, wedding
curating
cookies.
Your own
curating your own fortune cookie.
See, now I would get on board with that because then I could actually make them fortunes.
Yeah. Well, I worked on a campaign where we actually did that.
Really?
Yeah. I think we had two or three fortunes. Maybe it was four. He had to pay a surplus every time he added a fortune. So at the end of the campaign, they were individually packed fortune cookies that all customers would get at the end of the, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that has a cultural significance to that campaign though, right? Was that a...
No, it didn't.
Oh, okay.
No. And in retrospect, I probably wouldn't do that now.
Yeah.
Because it's... Sort of, although as I say, the fortune cookie
even
is
cultural,
not even
it's not even culturally tied to the Chinese tradition.
Culture. But
what the heck? We're worried about cultural appropriation when really it was Americans that invented half of the stuff and created.
And I mean, now like you can even buy not only you can buy the pre-made dough or whatever, but you can actually buy full-on made cookies.
Yeah,
like on Amazon. and decorate them yourself. I would not go that route, but, you know,
yeah.
It's become like a very merchandisable, this idea.
Oh, totally.
Of the, yeah.
And the gingerbread house, too. Yeah. Have you seen that? You can buy the gingerbread house kit that involves no baking. It comes with the flat gingerbread pieces. So you're just assembling it. Like, what the hell?
It's like the IKEA-ization of cookies.
It's not even creative.
Yeah, there was
anymore,
a time
really.
When I did that, but I don't think I would do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was so alarmed by how we box it up, right?
Yeah.
Like how we break it down, box it up, resell it to ourselves.
Yes.
And then we've lost all the creative input.
Yeah, because ultimately the thing about cookies is you make it from scratch.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we love. It's not even the cookie so much as the fact that someone took the time and put the thought into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a process. And we have to remember that the process is as important as the product.
More important.
Yeah.
I think.
And that implies quality too,
yes.
right? You're thoughtful about your ingredients.
Yes.
You're not just like, you know, I think when something's pre-bought, pre-dough mix, pre-whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's in there.
And you think, well, I can't make it for that. Actually, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to sort of do the math, figure it out.
And maybe this Christmas, make it your new tradition.
Yeah. Your trend.
Your trend. For you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something you normally just buy and whip off, try making it from scratch.
Absolutely.
I mean, not the kind where you actually have to grow the wheat, but still.
Well, not that from scratch, but buy ingredients.
Buy your raw ingredients.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes back to, it's about buying ingredients, not buying ready-made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The convenience factor,
yes.
right? Try not to bow to the convenience mm-hmm. temptation.
Yeah. And it feels good. It's like yoga.
Why
except
is it
yoga,
like yoga
with a, could just imagine yoga with a cookie smell.
Yeah. Oh, see, my kids are going to grab onto that one.
Yeah.
Mom, let's make cookies. Am I like, no, it's too much sugar or whatever. They'll be like, but it's like yoga.
It is like yoga. It's very relaxing, don't you find?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's something about having to wait that 10 minutes or 12 minutes when the oven's on. Like, you can't go anywhere.
No.
You can't get busy doing another project.
No.
Because you might miss the timer
absolutely.
Beep.
Absolutely. And you miss by a minute. You can miss.
Yeah. So you have to just stay present.
And I mean, that's what I mean. That's why it's like, it's that emotional and mental commitment to the process.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
New plan for the Christmas year, for the Christmas holidays. Yes. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, we often like to match the dramatic moment with the topic, but there's drama happening in the art world that has nothing to do with cookies, which is alarming because there usually is something.
I did find something.
Oh, you did?
But well, I'll just tag it on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think
this is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. This sort of transcends cookies.
Maybe.
Yes.
Sometimes some things transcend cookies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a Van Gogh fan.
Yes.
And I was really excited to have seen some of his work at the Van Gogh Foundation in Arles, and of course went on in the footsteps in Van Gogh tour in Arles, which is awesome, and saw his work at the National Gallery of London, saw Starry Night at the Musée d'Orsay, mm-hmm. you know, was just filling my soul with
yes.
Van Gogh.
Yes.
So this story was of interest to me. A sketchbook.
It's like 10 days ago?
Yeah.
It was in the news? Yeah.
Yeah. A sketchbook after 126 years
yes.
has surfaced of his drawings.
Wow.
And a Canadian historian was asked to authenticate it.
Yes.
So she was in France in 2013. Bogomila Welsh Ovcharov. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right. But she's she went to France and was presented with this book, and she said immediately, She knew, like in her heart, she knew. And she'd been asked to authenticate a lot of mm-hmm. Van Gogh materials.
Yeah,
so she's very experienced. However, and actually, if you look online, if you look at the sketches, I mean, I don't know, it feels right to me.
Feels right.
Yeah. And the story about how it was found and, you know, like in Arles, after he went to Saint-Rémy, there was some stuff shipped back to I think it was the doctor who worked with him when he was in Arles, at the hospital in Arles. And there's a record of the stuff. Like
being shipped.
Yeah. Saying like, okay, today we got this. Or no, it was the inn or something. Anyway, whatever it was, there's actually a log that says today we got a little box of stuff sent from San Remy, and there was this ledger book, because it's a ledger book with a bunch of sketches in it from Vincent. And so, I mean, it was even recorded. I think this is pretty good, authentic, you know,
yes,
material, whatever. And Amsterdam, the reigning king of everything Van Gogh,
yes,
is disputing it,
oh,
saying it's not real. It's just somebody who copied Van Gogh's paintings and sketches. So this is a big, thing.
But isn't it? It's easier to say no.
It is easy to say no, and think that nobody wants to say yes, because when you say yes, and then if later it's discovered to be no, that's it. Your business, your reputation, it's over. So if you say no, there's nothing to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the assumption that he was was he famous in his life?
No.
Oh.
No, he wasn't. I mean, he was just...
So why would anybody copy him?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And we forget that, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know who they were when they were who they were.
Yeah.
They didn't even know they would be who they are.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is trippy when you think about it.
Yeah. And there has been all kinds of things, like all kinds of people who have come forward who made their business copying art and making sure that it fit, like that they used canvas that was of the age, they used techniques to age the paint and to make the patina, you know, like there's been things that have happened.
So is he saying it's someone else who faked it after the fact,
yeah,
or during when one of his contemporaries?
Well, it's not really clear. They're just saying that just because the ledger book and the pages in the book are of the right age doesn't mean that it's authentic.
Were they in a carbon date?
Well, that's what they do. They take these things apart and date them just about to the weekend that something was produced. So, but I mean, I just feel like the way
you want to believe, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But the way that something presents itself, like the style of the pen work, and like those things are as important as the carbon dating of the paper
under which it was found.
Yes, yeah. All of the support information and the actual work itself, I think, should be considered as important as all the other scientific pieces, right? So I think the constant doubt is just, I don't know, it's getting to me.
Yes.
I just want people to say, wow, that's cool. Like, and I know, now let's share. And,
it's cool.
Yeah, and let's share it and let's talk about it and let's admire it and appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his life was really short. He died at 37. And
wow.
Imagine what he'd have been able to do.
And to be given this one more look.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another gift. Another
gift.
It
is a gift, I know. But we all have biases.
Oh, yeah.
And the biases... And that's true. I mean, that's important, especially in the art world. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a bias. And we want to think that we're independent-minded and unaffected, and right? Mm-hmm. But it's not true. And I think we're deeply moved by things and we don't understand why. And I think sometimes that's why the business world doesn't understand the arts world.
Yeah.
But businesses... if they're biased, they say, well, that's my private business decision, right?
Yeah.
So in some way, having a bias in business can actually be good for you. Whereas in the arts, are we held up to a higher standard? Mm-hmm. We don't get to have biases. Well, you know what everybody does.
Yeah.
So
just you're dismissed if you have a bias or admit to having a bias.
But we all do.
Yeah.
It's just acknowledging what's impacting my decision.
Yeah. And our experience and our history is exactly what... you know, leads us in everything. So of course it's going to be biased.
And you can still have a bias, but make an unbiased decision.
Yeah.
So, and that's the jurying part, right? Like who decides what is good and who decides what's not good.
I know.
Whatever it is, it's good and it's beautiful and let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we have to authenticate everything.
I know. It seems insane. And I understand it's because of value, right? Yeah. It's because somebody's going to pay millions of dollars for this thing at some point. But I don't know. Yeah. If somebody's willing to pay millions of dollars, who cares?
Yeah.
If they're going to get joy out of it. I mean, what else is going to happen with it, right? I mean, it's not like it spits out money or something.
No.
I mean, if it's just like paintings now. If you love a painting now, you shouldn't be concerned about whether or not it's going to increase in value. If you love it, you should, you know, really have it and display it as part of, you know, who you are.
Yeah. And it's just like a cookie. They're better when they're made by hand.
Exactly.
Yeah. with ingredients.
You're so good at bringing things all the way back.
I love tying ribbons around stuff.
Yes, yeah. You do. Okay, so tell me your dramatic moment about
just,
the cookie.
I just happened to see again on Board Panda. There's a
Doesn't Board Panda have a food art section?
Yeah, they must.
Because it seems like there's a lot of food art.
When Facebook knows me well, it says, hey, we think you'd like this. And they're usually right. The Ukrainian pastry, this is about a Ukrainian pastry chef who's a master of baking and geometric figures. Mm. So she looked at these desserts. Well, they're baked, so they could be little cakes, not necessarily cookies. And she looked at them as if they were buildings and built little structures. And the outcome is astounding. I mean, look at this precise, unbelievable work.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Really geometric.
Shapes and baking.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what shape that is.
I don't know.
A polygon? Polygon-shaped cookie.
Yeah. Right? Okay, so taking it to the next level.
Perfect circles. It's astounding.
Hey, you don't know perfect circles till you see my mom's cookies.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect circles.
Well, I don't know what this... Wow.
Yeah, so really taking it... Like, it's almost like the cake decorating thing where the extra added parts... Like, it's not just about the content of the cookie anymore. It's about what the outside looks like.
The shape.
And how you're composing your cookie.
Those ones might be too pretty to eat.
Yeah. Well, those are works of art, for sure.
Look at that one.
Yeah. And also really good photography.
It's on Board Panda. The colors are astounding. The sugar work is astounding. I mean, they are really miniature works.
Yeah.
Works of art.
And the sugar thing, it's a media unto itself, right? Like being able to create a sugar sculpture is a thing for cake decorating, for chefs, for, you know, like everything.
And
because it holds together, it's unbelievably strong once it's like heated to the right temperature and then cooled. And
And when food and art meet, it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. And in fact, every time you try to present food well, you're doing art, you're composing.
Oh my goodness. I forgot to tell you this one other thing.
What?
Oh, maybe I'll keep it for next week.
What? No, now I'm curious.
Well, no, it would be a really good dramatic moment. No, I'm keeping it.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Food related, obviously. Yeah. Well, okay.
You'll have to tune in next week.
But next week we're going to talk about the sustainable goals.
That's okay, because it'll fit into that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great. Maybe just before we, go on to our various events. The meeting last night about the UN's sustainable development goals was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. I felt like for the first time, and I don't know, maybe this is just me because it's the day after, I felt for the first time like maybe something that we're doing in Salmon Arm, like a lot of things we're doing in Salmon Arm, have global impact.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah, but I guess, you kind of think that, how you work in your own community, make it a better place,
little bubble.
And then it spreads, and then you're making the world, I don't know. I've always known that, right? Mm-hmm. That's the where you put your focus so that you make the world a better place.
100 monkey syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. But I really feel like, wow, we're fulfilling, like the way that the last 17 goals were developed.
Yes.
From 2015 to 2030. The way that happened, as opposed to how those millennial goals happened, with the huge collaboration of the other G77, the other 77 countries that are not first world countries. I feel like, wow, collaboration is happening in a big way right now.
Yes.
And the recognition that all of that work is being done at the community level. Mm-hmm. I just think that's so significant.
Oh, good. So you felt good.
I felt good after that.
It was really interesting. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Some more next week. But before that, there's probably some...
Well, there's lots of stuff going on.
It is,
It's the season.
The silly season. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you do have to pick and choose. You have to curate your experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that, one of the things to do is to just kind of be aware of all the things that are happening. Mm-hmm. You can do that on our website at salmonarmartcenter.ca.
Yes.
Under participate, a listing by date of all the events. Look at the list of things and just find your passion, right? And do the things that make you feel good, because community connection is important. Getting together in groups, doing things that you have in common with other people, it's the best feeling.
Yeah.
Feeling of community. And that's really what holidays are all about, right?
Or invite someone over to bake cookies.
Yeah. Gathering and eating, really. Yeah.
What else is there?
So yeah, Christmas presents are consumable. Mm-hmm. Make less stuff,
make more
happiness. Yeah.
Make more cookies, make less stuff.
And maybe less brandy beans.
Ew.
You don't like brandy beans?
What are those?
Oh, brandy beans are like the classic go-to Christmas gift if you don't know what to get someone. Kind of like the pot of gold chocolates.
Oh, I would much... Well, if I have a choice, I'd rather have a pot of gold.
Yeah. Well,
what? A brandy? Never heard of it. I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of brandy beans? No. Oh, well, go someday. I don't even know. Where do you get brandy beans? I've received brandy beans a few times. They're quite lovely because they're filled with alcohol.
Okay. But those things.
Yeah. But I don't even know where you get them.
No, I think generally prefer cookies.
Yes. I would say go with the cookie.
Yes.
Yeah. The art of the cookie. Make it your own. Figure out what your family cookie is. Right? Ooh. And then just...
And your Canada 150 cookie.
Yeah. Yes. Hint, hint.
That's right.
Maple cookies.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
It was fun.
And thanks for the cookies, House Baker Mickey.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Bye for now.